This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Good morning, John Ryan.
And John Ryan is here, our digital camera expert. He'll be in the studio to take your digital camera questions. Feel free to get online about those, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Also, Bob Shorey, MCSE, comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So get those digital camera questions ready. We're going to talk to John in a second. We do have a couple of news articles that we want to bring up. Bob, you had something going on that seemed kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, I got a bunch of stuff from Apple this week.
You do?
And I'm not an anti-Apple fan, but I just thought it interesting.
Anti-Apple fan, all right.
Well, you know. Well, you're kind of a pro-Android guy.
I'm a pro-affordability guy.
Well, that's
good, too. Go ahead,
Anyway, it's a CNET article. It goes, HomePod, Echo, Google Home.
Yeah.
How secure are your speakers?
What's HomePod?
HomePod?
Yeah. Is that Apple?
That's the new Apple device that's coming out this fall.
Calling it a HomePod?
Yeah, it's the Apple speaker system. Right. It is something else because it's got all sorts of electronics built in.
All right.
Okay. So this thing is...
Can it help cook? We could use that in our house.
Well, yeah, you can ask for it to find you recipes.
That's not going to help.
Well, they're going to be using Siri.
Yeah.
And they're improving Siri. They're going to give her a sense of humor. They're going to make her more naturally speaking. They're going to actually introduce a male voice.
Nice.
If that's what you want. And they were coming through with some of the specifications. So this is a really good article.
All right.
And basically what it gets through, or this article talks about, is the Google Home, the Amazon Alexa.
Right.
And... or the Echo,
right.
And the HomePod, which is what they're calling the new Apple speakers,
right.
Are basically competing. And I think Apple's a little late in the game, but they're only going to go for about $350.
That's cheap when it comes to Apple.
Well, yeah, it's only double what you pay for the other two, but, you know, we won't get into that.
Nah.
All right.
Double? So any benefits about it? I mean, I know there's always that when you ask Google Alexa about the NSA or something like that, it gets very, very defensive. What is Apple doing about that?
Well, when I get into the Google speakers, they Google Home, they allow you to will recognize you can set up to six different accounts.
Right.
So it'll recognize six different people, and then be able to, based on your surfing and your history, be able to answer whatever it is that interests you and kind of tailor your requests to your own tastes.
Right.
So the Amazon Echo only recognizes one account, one voice, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And all three of them encrypt the conversation and hold the data, the voice recordings, up in the cloud. The difference between the three is both the Google and the Echo hold their recordings up in the cloud, but it's tied to the various accounts.
Right. So somebody wants to find out what you're doing on your Google Echo, Google whatever, your Amazon app, whatever, they could ask for it and get it.
Yeah. The government will, they'll actually release that to the government if the government gives them a court order type thing. Or FISA, whatever, whoever.
Or if they open a matter of some kind.
Right. But Apple, in its infinite wisdom, with its history with the government, not wanting to decrypt your private stuff, has worked in electronics where it works through an anonymizer. So whatever's stored up in the cloud, the conversations, are only stored up in the cloud for about 6 weeks, first of all.
Gotcha.
And it's all encrypted. Actually, it's encrypted during the transmission.
Right.
Which all three do. But it's also double encrypted once it gets up on the cloud.
Okay.
So after 6 weeks, it kind of deletes everything and starts over.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it doesn't keep a forever record.
Recording. So basically, if Donald Trump had the Apple device in the White House recording the conversations, he'd be fine. But if it's Google or Amazon, might be worried.
The other thing, because they use an anonymizer that's tied into your individual device.
Yep.
Okay. and it's a combination. It's randomized and what have you.
Right.
If they gave Apple a court order to release your recordings,
they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it because they wouldn't know which ones are yours.
Right. All right. Interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see with that very expensive speaker how it does. I mean, Apple always does well. So.
Yeah, they've designed it. They put in, like, I think it said 7 tweeters. And a subwoofer.
7 tweeters? Isn't that the size of a Coke can?
And they're...
It's not that big.
Well, yeah, but they've done all this stuff all to right. make it so that it works really good. And then it can sense where it is in the room.
That's creepy.
And optimize itself all so right. that you get the best sound for where the speaker is located.
When it's talking back with you.
Yes.
All right. All right, Bob, thanks. In other news, you guys might have heard British Airways had a huge IT outage. Basically, 75,000 folks were sitting around trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And, of course, because of when the internet's down or the cloud is down, they can't fly a plane anymore. I don't know what Amazing. We did without the internet or the cloud. So what happened here was, the story goes, that a contractor doing maintenance on the British Airways data center, otherwise known as the British Airways cloud, inadvertently hit the only switch that shut the whole thing down. And he shut off a power supply, and he knocked the entire thing down. The failovers didn't work because he actually started firing it back up again really quickly once he realized, just in minutes, it was out for like 11 or 12 minutes, but it did enough damage to bring the whole thing down. So basically a switch flipper made a lot of people very angry for a weekend. Last Friday. We'll put a note out, a link out here for you. But in honor of switch flippers everywhere, I wanted you guys to enjoy a little bit of Mr. Brian Regan and what he takes about switch flippers.
We also had to get the phone turned on. I'm at my friend's house. I call the phone company. Can you turn on our telephone? Okay, it's going to be a problem. I figured. How? Why? It's just going to be a big nightmare. That's our policy. It's going to be a nightmare. Something about hell on earth. It's different than I thought. I didn't know how it worked, so I asked him, how does that work? Do we have to wait in our home for a few days for the phone people to come out?
No, we do it differently now. We can just flip the switch from right here.
Great. Can you go ahead and flip it?
We're going to flip it next Thursday.
Can you flip it right now?
We're going to flip it Thursday, late, or Friday, or sometime in November.
Can you see it from where you're at? Can I come down and flip it?
What do I know? I guess there's only one flip switcher and he has a lot to get to.
I assume they're tiny. Maybe they're big giant switches and they're really hard to flip, you know? He's never going to get to my house. I want to go down there and cheer him on. Go, switch flipper, go! Flip them switches! Flip them good, switch flipper! Get him right.
You gotta love Brian Regan. So, nice switch flipper. Turned off British Airways. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We have three lines wide open for you. And then, of course, remember, John Ryan's in here. He's our digital camera expert. We'll be covering digital camera topics. And if you have any digital camera questions, he'll be here to help you out. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get those calls on the line, and we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. John Ryan is in, and he's our resident digital camera expert. When Carmen retired and is living the life, John decided to take over and help out. Right, John?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right.
So let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to call in this gorgeous Saturday morning. We're going to go to Massachusetts, I think, and Stan in Hanover. Hey, Stan, you there?
Hey, good morning.
Morning, what's up?
I have a question about digital cameras.
Perfect.
I'm thinking about purchasing a Minolta 7200. I'm not too, you know, big on these. It was one of those deals where you get two lenses with it. You know, you get a telephoto lens and a standard lens. I'm just wondering if I should get a better piece of glass for that telephoto lens or if I'm going to even need it.
Hmm.
Well, that's curious. Minolta as a company hasn't existed for probably...
Not Minolta. I have a Minolta 700X that I used to always play with. Nikon, excuse me.
Oh, the 7200?
Yes.
The 7200 is a pretty good camera. They just brought that out. Actually, I think it was released, what, last month? Month before?
Last month or the month before.
Yeah. Actually, I have some information on that with me. Is a good thing that you called about that. But then I am a Nikon shooter, so I am prejudiced with Nikon. I will say kit lenses are great. They're absolutely wonderful as long as you use them within the parameters that they were designed for. If you're shooting, you know, a kid's play in a gym that's lit by candles, like most gyms are, not going to work really good. If you're shooting outside on a day like today, you'll get phenomenal results on the kit lenses. Mm. I'm a firm believer that the box is a wonderful thing, but the glass is the most important. If you can swing the extra money, I would buy better lenses. I'd buy the body and then buy better lenses. You're probably getting what, the 18 to 55 and 55 to 200? Those are the two lenses?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, that's pretty much standard what everybody sells now with their cameras.
What's a better lens mean? Is it just better? Is it the quality of the lens, or is it the distance you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a really nice focal length range. They're small. They're mostly plastic. The lenses are glass, obviously, but the case is plastic. The maximum aperture, the widest the lens will go to let the most light in, tends to be smaller. So they don't work really well in low light situations. Now, if you're going to be shooting on a tripod, doesn't matter. But if you're going to be hand holding them, big difference. Tamron has some great glass that's affordable. That's very, very similar to Nikon. Sigma has some great glass. Nikon has wonderful glass. I personally would probably buy. They have a really great 18 to 135 f3.5. They've got a really nice, if you've got the money to spend, 24 to 70 2.8. Set you back probably about $1,500, which is more than the camera.
Yeah,
but you'll never, never look back on that lens.
Really, what I'm going to be using it for is my granddaughter's having a dance recital, and it's one of those ones that you can't use flash photography inside. You know,
right.
Hoping low light. That,
well, here's
I may have to go out and buy myself a better piece of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an alternative to that. I mean, you know, spending the money. Hey, I'm a rabid lens accumulator. There's no question about that. But there's a company called Lens Rental. You can go online, lensrental.com. You can rent any kind of lens you're looking for reasonably. I believe they're based in Boston. So you could rent it. Theoretically, you could have the lens here. If you rented it on Monday, you could have the lens by Wednesday and you get a week. But you could get a 70 to 200 2.8, which would be phenomenal for the dance recital. A 24 2.8.
That sounds terrific. I didn't even know they had a place.
Yeah, if you wanted to go whole hog and really look like, hey, this is great, you rent a 300 2.8. That'll probably set you back a couple $100 for the week, but amazing piece of glass.
But 300, I mean, that sounds like he's going to be in just an auditorium.
Yeah, you see those on the side of football fields.
Okay, okay.
70 to 200, 2.8 would be great because that, depending upon where you are in the auditorium, you should still be able to, you know, get your granddaughter in there without a problem.
Outstanding. Hey, guys, from TAB, I got to tell you, I'm glad I listened to your show because my neighbor got hit with that scam that's going around, you know, call this number.
Right.
And she did. And guess what?
She paid him money.
She paid him $399.
To do nothing.
Well, they were on her computer for 90 minutes.
Well, yeah, they acted like they did something. They got nothing else to do in the third world.
Of course, and they put in every free program you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they wouldn't take a check. They wouldn't take her credit card. They wanted an electronic check.
Oh my gosh! And she went and did that.
So they got her checking account number and whatnot. And I told her, I said, you better get to the bank.
Yep.
And close that account out.
Right.
And whatnot. And I downloaded a new copy of Malware Bytes, and I went over to her place and unplugged everything from the internet.
Yeah.
Went through it, and I was over there for hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, tell her to listen.
You're right. I really appreciate it.
All right, Stan.
Have a good day, guys.
You too. Thank you for calling. All right. So you're going to spend some money on some glass.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Glass is the big thing. I love buying lenses, and I think they make a big difference. You can take a mediocre camera and put great lens on and get great picture.
Yeah.
Just like you can take a great camera body and put a mediocre piece of glass on and degrade the sensor. It's just, you know, the kit lenses are wonderful. They really are.
Yeah.
But they're designed for middle-of-the-road applications. And if you have something where you're doing specialized stuff, low light, ultra-wide angles, you know, you want a specific perspective, the kit lenses just don't really cover that.
But if you don't know what you're even looking for, like me, a kit lens is perfect.
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, hey, I'd be the first to admit, I have the 18 to 55 and the 55
sure.
to 200.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where I'll actually use those. Because,
it's the roller derbies that you
right.
capture that.
Well, no. Those are specialized because it's real low light there. But right. The 18 to 55, you know, those lenses outside,
yeah.
great. Absolutely wonderful.
18 to 55.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, guys, stick around. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. We have two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you have any digital camera questions, we've got the guy in studio to help you with those. You know, what do I need? You know, and we'll talk about some technology that's out there, that drone technology that's out there, and camera technology that continues to get better and better, cheaper and cheaper.
Absolutely,
all
cheaper
right.
and cheaper.
So stick around, guys. Couple lines open. Get online while we're doing the news. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And I'm John.
John is John Ryan. He's our digital camera expert. He'll be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your digital camera questions while we have John here. We're going to go to Charles in Hartford next. Morning, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm calling. I don't know very much about photography. I'm trying to learn something.
All right. You came to the right place, I hope.
I have a Nikon D60, and I guess I don't know if it's obsolete now or what, but...
Is that a film camera or a digital camera?
It's a digital camera.
Oh, okay. Does it work?
Yeah, I think it works.
Well, we got to start with that. Does the battery charge? Can you take pictures?
I'm trying to learn all I can right now. But if I wanted to upgrade the lens on this, I think it came with the lens that came with the camera. What would I look for in lenses?
Well, that's the nice thing about Nikon. They haven't changed their lens mount since 1959. So you can put almost any Nikon lens on that camera. There's a few that are just by the configuration that won't work. But more to the point, what kind of photography do you want to do? Do you want to do landscapes or do you want to do sports? What do you want to do?
Basically, I think portraits, landscapes, maybe a little sports.
Okay, so just about everything. All right. Well,
you want that perfect lens, right, Charles,
yeah.
to do everything?
What I would suggest is, and this goes back to the earlier question about the kit lenses, I don't know which lens you've got. Now, the D60, when it first came out, was probably in... It probably wasn't the 18 to 55. It was probably something like a 50 millimeter lens. Again, I don't know. I don't know because that camera's been off the market for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at the Nikon 18 to 55 or the 18 to 135 just to get started. Get your feet wet. It's wide enough to where you can do really nice landscapes with it, and it's telephoto enough to where you can do really nice portraits. Now, as far as sports goes, what kind of sports? If you're shooting basketball, that's not such a long lens. If you're shooting automobile racing, you want to make sure you've got a lens that keeps you out of the crash zone. Football, you're looking at a 300 millimeter lens. works best. Again, what kind of sports?
Basically, probably basketball.
Okay, when I used to shoot basketball, depending upon where you were, that was like a 50-millimeter lens, which is a normal lens, an 85-millimeter lens, a 105. That would cover pretty much all of it as long as, you know, the action was down on your end of the court.
So the kit lens might have come with that.
Right. And you know, the nice thing about it is if you're shooting in places like the XL Center, things like that, that's lit for TV, it's plenty of light. If you're shooting in a high school gym, you know, you're taking your life in your hands photographically. The D60 is not really good for a high ISO. If you remember back to the days of film, you know, you go out and buy a roll of 1,000-speed film if you're shooting in the dark. Digital cameras do that too, but the more you go up on the ISO, the more noise, and that's kind of like grain, digital grain, that you introduce into the image. Again, if you're shooting high school, some high schools don't mind if you use flash. If you're shooting college, they get testy about it. The pros, you don't need it because the stadiums or the arenas are lit for TV, and that's really bright. Personally, I'd keep the D60 to learn with, and then I would start looking at some newer stuff. The newer cameras are so much better.
Okay.
I mean, you're like riding a bicycle digitally. It's, you know, get used to it, don't fall off a lot, and then move up to the Harley or the Ferrari.
But they're not even that much more expensive, about $1,000.
Yeah, you can get that D7200 if you want to stay in Nikon. We were just looking at that. It's about $1,000 for the body. Now, I know camera companies are constantly updating their cameras, but it's to the point now where you're updating the update. You're not really gaining a whole lot. I've got a couple of cameras that I use for specific things that are only 10 megapixel. They give me phenomenal results. I can pick up a replacement body on eBay for $150 when I paid $2,200 for them, brand new. And I don't mind if they get broken.
Right.
Because I can pick up another one really cheaply. But they work for what I need them for. I mean,
and his investment in a different piece of glass will be moved over to the new camera body.
Right,
probably.
Absolutely. That's a nice thing. If you stay with Nikon, any glass you have with Nikon, you're going to take with you to whatever body you have.
So, all right, Charles.
Okay, now one more question. Where can I get rid of used cameras? Who would take used cameras?
Well, you got a couple of options. You could A, donate them. If they're film cameras, you can donate them to high schools because some high schools still have them. Some colleges will take them because they won't let their students destroy them. They don't want to destroy their equipment. You could put it on Craigslist and hopefully you can sell it. You could put it on eBay because somebody will buy anything off of eBay.
Yep.
Or you can put it up on the mantelpiece and go, wow, that was a great camera. I used to love using that.
The reason I asked, I was given a Minolta X700. I guess it's been out of market for quite a while, I guess.
The X700 is a phenomenal camera. If you want to shoot film, and you can still shoot film, you can still buy it. And if it's got lenses with it, you can get it processed. You can go to CVS. You can go to Walgreens. Give them the roll of film. They'll send it out. They'll process the film. They'll scan it. And they'll send you back a DVD so you don't have to scan it. You can make all the pictures you want to. But that camera is built like a tank. It will handle any abuse. You could give it to a three-year-old and let them play with it all day, and it'll still work.
Okay, good. Thank you so very much for your information.
My
pleasure. Charles, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. So he's got some learning to do. Minolta's been come up twice this morning already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Minolta's a great company. I mean, Sony was smart. They bought all the lens mounts and all the stuff from Minolta. So a Sony camera is essentially a rebranded Minolta. Now, obviously, technology's different, but you can use Minolta lenses on Sony cameras. So if you've got Minolta lenses laying around, you buy yourself a new Sony body, you're good to go.
Interesting. All right. We'll step out for a quick break here, get to your calls. Gary, Stefan, and Carol, hang on. One line open for you. This is the Big Digital Camera Show. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab on a beautiful Saturday morning. Thank you guys for joining us. And John Ryan's in for digital camera questions. But we do have some other calls. Gary in Bloomfield's been on the longest. So we'll take a quick call for a regular computer question from Gary. Hey, Gary, thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome. On the couple of weeks ago when I put in the Microsoft security patches, I noticed a steady decline in system speed, particularly in Firefox and Word.
Okay.
Yesterday, well, plus I ran Malwarebytes several times in between.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I started getting a Windows pop-up box that said low memory, and then it started crashing programs. So I went and I checked on the task manager, and it said it was only using 19% of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across the Windows memory diagnostic, and I ran that, and it said no issues detected.
All right.
And once it restarted the machine, it seemed like things were running normal again.
Yeah.
So I used it last night, used it a little bit this morning, and then after about an hour this morning, I noticed it started to slow down again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, it seems like I'm not using that much memory at only 15-19%.
Right.
And diagnostics found nothing, and it seemed to fix it, but then it seemed like I got a reoccurrence again this morning. And I have 12 gigabytes of RAM.
Oh, okay. So 12 gigs is a nice amount of RAM there. Your performance is all subjective, so you're perceiving a slowdown, which I'm sure you're not wrong that it's slowing down. But it could be a background process. Have you checked your processes to see if you've got anything taking up your CPU cycles?
Yeah, I did that yesterday, and everything, because nothing else was on, was like 2%.
Okay, so it's not that.
So I think what you want to do is when you open your task manager, there's a tab in there that gives you a little button that says resource manager, and you want to open the resource manager, and it'll tell you how hard your CPU is working, how much RAM you're using, and it'll tell you how much disk activity that you have. And it may be that you have some process running that's hammering your hard drive.
Right.
And if that's the case, then it's waiting its turn in the queue to actually do something. And I see that quite a lot, particularly with Windows 10.
Now, I think that's the same box I was in where it also gives you graphs for disk usage, memory usage.
Correct.
And that's where I had the CPU usage was at 2% and the memory was at 15-19%.
Right. We're thinking it could be a hard drive issue. So look at your hard drive usage and how it's queuing.
Okay.
How old's the machine, Gary?
About 27 months.
So it's nice and young.
So this is a Windows 10, correct?
No, it's a 8.1.
8.1. Well, it doesn't matter. If you open up your task manager and then there's a... under performance, you should see a place where it says open resource monitor. And the resource monitor will show you visually what's going on. There's an overview tab that shows you your CPU, your disk, your network usage, and your memory.
Right.
Yeah, I'm in that now. The CPU is at 1%. The memory's at 16%. Disk C is... it's bouncing between 0 and 11%.
Okay. So right now it's not doing anything.
No, the only thing I have open is Task Manager.
Right.
And,
so when you have those other programs open, go pop, and it seems like it's running slowly, pop over to see what your resources are doing and pay attention to your hard drive, I guess, is what we're saying.
The one that's using up when you start hammering your resources, you can actually sort by what the resources it's using. So you can actually find out what process...
Right.
Okay, so that would be either the CPU or the disk zero, which is the C drive.
Right.
Okay.
You can also consider a different browser. Firefox, we've been fans of Firefox for a very, very long time. However, it does seem a lot slower than Chrome and other browsers these days. So maybe you want to try a different browser.
Okay.
See if you find a better result.
Okay. And on the system restore part... when I started having some of these issues this week, I went in there just to see what I had and also did a couple manual create restore points.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that it's only holding a maximum of 4 restore points.
You can
and
change
when
that.
I went into the configure is set at 55 gig, and it says it's using 8 gig.
Well, you can increase that. You can actually, well, you got to click on the drive because you can set the amount of space for each drive that you have on there. Now, if you have a system or store drive, you don't want to really touch that. You want to touch the C drive. And I typically set that at 10%. Most hard drives are at least 500 gigs, so that's going to give you 5 gigs of system restore. If you have a terabyte drive, that's going to give you, about 10 gigs. So that's plenty of space. You'll get a lot more.
He's got 55 gigs right now.
So 55 gigs. Well, Well, also there's a place in there where it says show more restore points, too. You may...
Yeah, I've clicked the button on the bottom, and that's why I know, because normally if I don't click that box, it only shows one or two. When I click the box to show more, it shows a maximum of four, and then periodically it drops off the fourth one, and I'm down to three. And then maybe a couple days later it goes in and creates another restore point.
Mm-hmm.
And but then when it gets to the point of four... it drops off the bottom one again.
I haven't noticed that. Is that a setting, Bob, where you can set how many maximum restore points you want?
Well, it's based more on data.
On size, right?
Capacity. On size, right.
Four seems a little small as far as the quantity of restore points.
Yeah.
I'm in system properties, so I clicked on the C and then went into configure for it, and that's where the 55 gig that's allocated for disk space usage, and it's saying I'm using 8.7 gig.
Right, for the recovery portion.
Yeah.
Right. So what's your max usage set to?
55 gig.
All right, well, yeah.
It should work, right? You should get more than that.
Correct. Yeah, I would maybe bump that up if you've got space.
So go up to 60 or 75?
Well, yeah, I've got mine set right now at 20%, which is giving me the potential for up to 86 gigs, and I'm using 14.
And again, Gary, if you're not making a lot of changes to your operating system, and going back, it shouldn't be that often. And I mean, in my career as an IT geek, I think I've gone back to a restore point once, maybe twice. So you shouldn't have to keep going back to it. So if you have just a few, you're probably in good shape too.
Okay, well, part of it came in as a few shows back, you were talking with someone about increasing their space. So that's part of the reason I went in looking at it, and then I noticed just what it's been doing. But then because of the slowness I've had the last couple weeks, hoping it's not malware, I kept looking at it a little bit more, and that's when I noticed it started dropping off the fourth one.
Right. Well, again, malware would show up as a CPU and a RAM issue, and you're not really seeing that. So we think it's a drive issue, possibly. But we have to go to a hard break here, Gary. Hope we helped you a little bit.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, sir. You too. We're going to step out for a quick break for the news. Stick around, Stefan, Jack, and Danny. One line open for you. We've got John Ryan in the studio taking your digital camera questions. And everything we've talked about will be Facebooked, it'll be tweeted, and the old-fashioned website at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back.